frame, but I wouldn't let Kurt sneak up behind me like here like that. I didn't know what you were doing. The story is told, two brothers that lived on joining farms, and they fell into conflict with each other. And it was the first serious rift in 40 years of farming side by side, sharing machinery and trading labor and goods as needed without conflict. Then the long collaboration fell apart. It began with a small misunderstanding and it grew into a major difference, and the family just simply exploded into an exchange of bitter words, as so often we do. And they fell into silence. One morning, there was a knock on John's door, one of the brothers. And he opened it to find a man with a carpenter toolbox in his hand. The man said, "I'm looking for work. Is there anything that I can do? Is there any way that I could help you? Maybe you have a few small jobs I could do." John said, "I sure do. I have something that you can do." He said, "Look across the creek there. At that farm, that's my neighbor's farm." He said, "In fact, that's my brother's farm. Last week there was a meadow between us, and he took a bulldozer to the river levee, and now there's a creek between us." And he said, "Well, he may have done this to spite me, but I'm going to do one better." He said, "I want you to go out there, and I want you to build a wall all the way across that property line so I don't even have to look at him. I don't even have to see over there. If I don't want to see over there." He said, "I've got lumber in my barn. I want you to build that fence. I never want to see his face again." So the carpenter said, "I think I understand the situation. He should show me the lumber, show me the nails, and I'll get right to work." He went out there and he began to work. The older brother, John, had to go into town, so he helped the carpenter get the materials, and then he left for the day. When he came back at the end of the day, he was looking to see this great wall that he had had this man construct for him as he approached his farm. But as he approached his farm, there wasn't a wall. But instead, there was a bridge. The man had built a bridge across the creek between his brother's farm and his. And it was an ornate bridge, a fine piece of work, hand rails. It was a beautiful bridge. And he got out of his truck and he went down to the bridge and he stepped onto it. And as he was walking onto it, his brother had seen it too. And he came to the bridge and he was on the other side and they met in the middle. Looking at the bridge, the two brothers just stood there, looked at each other and then took each other's hands and then embraced one another. They turned to see the carpenter hoist his toolbox back onto his shoulder. They said, "No, wait. Stay a few more days. We got a lot of other work for you to do, a lot of other projects." And he said, "I'd love to stay on, but I have many more bridges to build, and I must get to work." You know, we need to be, as children of God, bridge builders, don't we? There are three ways in which we are bridge builders in our world today. We build bridges in two ways to people. We build bridges to people that they might find God, because they are separated from the truth. They do not have the truth. They can't seem to get to the truth on their own. And they need somebody to build a bridge that will let them cross the divide of ignorance and come to God's truth. We need to build those bridges. Those bridges of understanding, that they might know their need for Jesus Christ in their lives. God has called us to do that. He called us to do that in the Great Commission. He has called us to do that as His children, to teach the lost, to help them to understand. But also, we need to build bridges to other people in the sense that we need to build bridges between people that we have problems with. There are often times that we have problems with individuals. There are times when we say things that we wished we had never said. And yet it is so hard to sometimes go back and to take back those words. Sorries sometimes fall kind of with a thud, don't they, when we say them. because the sorry just doesn't quite measure up to the terrible words we spoke. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. You know, he doesn't say that you have to control the other person, does he? This is all about me and my responsibility. As much as is possible within you, as much as you can do, every ounce of effort that you can do, every plank you can lay on the bridge, lay it. If the other person doesn't want to get on the bridge, if they don't want to meet you halfway, they don't even want to step on the wood, that's their issue. But as children of God, we do our part. And the response does not change that. There are people that we have differences with, and it is important that we do all that we can to right those differences. Cannot express to you how important that is for our lives. How important that is for us as children of God. As we look at what Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, and there in the Sermon on the Mount, He is telling us the kind of people He wants us to be. The Beatitudes are the kind of people that God wants you to be. He wants you to have those characteristics in your life. That's why He comes down and He says, if you have those characteristics, you are salt. It isn't you'll have to try to be salt. You will be salt. And you are light. If you have those characteristics. And everything builds from those characteristics on. But there in chapter 5, Jesus says something that's very important for us in verses 21 through 24. When He talks about that if we are going to present our sacrifice, and we remember that we have aught with our brother, we have a problem with our brother, right? He says, just go on to church, right? Go on, take your sacrifice and offer it, right? That's not what He says. He says, if you are going to take your sacrifice and you remember that you have a problem with your brother, you put down your sacrifice. You go fix it. Then you come and you sacrifice. What Jesus Christ is telling us there, and it is very sobering, is that we can't come and worship Him acceptably when we won't do and show the love that God shows. See, God loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, according to Romans chapter 5, right? He loved us while we mistreated Him. He loved us while we slapped Him in the face. He loved us while we did everything and were everything that He was not. We say, well, this person just did. Yeah, what did you do to God? You're no better. I'm no better. I have no moral high ground as an excuse to have aught with someone else. I have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility as children of God to love, regardless of what people do, regardless of how they act, and to show them the love of God. We cannot come here and love a God when we can't love our fellow men, right? 1 John chapter 4. We can't love our brethren. We can't love God. And God made that very clear. We need to spend our lives not only building bridges to those that are lost, to those that do not have the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we need to be building bridges to those that we have problems with. Well, Nathan, we just don't have the same personalities. Well, you need to find some common ground. Your brothers and sisters. It has nothing to do with personality. I can't find a scripture in the Bible that says if your personalities don't match, you don't have to get along. I hadn't found that when I've heard it in the church. Oh, it's just personality. We just don't have the same. Well, I don't care what kind of personality you have. Your personality is supposed to be a Christ personality. And that would not allow such a thing to take place. Build bridges. Find a way. If there's a chasm between you and a brother, maybe it is just a personality thing. Maybe it's not a matter of mistreating each other or having said something. Build a bridge to find a way to get along. I've had to get along with some pretty un-get-alongable brethren. Is that even a word? I've had to find ways to get along with brethren that didn't want to get along. But you can find them. You can do them. I've had brethren that didn't want to speak to me, didn't want to shake my hand. You know, Don't let them get away with that. Somebody's doing that to you, don't let them get away with that. Go shake their hand. Be as nice as you can to them. And don't do it, as one man said, just to heap hot coals on their head, right? One brother said, I'm going to be nice to him just so he suffers. I'm like, whoa, whoa, no. That's the wrong motivation. You're not nice to him so he suffers. You're nice to him so that you can overcome evil with good. That's what Romans chapter 12 is driving at. Let's make sure we do it for the right reasons. So you make sure you go and you show the kindness of Christ. It makes an impact on people. I've had those people then say, you know, you just wouldn't let me be mad at you. You wouldn't let me not like you. That's right. I'm not going to just let you. You may choose to, but I'm going to do the very best I can to keep you from it. I'm going to try to build a bridge. And then most importantly, we build our bridges with people, but most important bridge that we need to build is the bridge to God. Our sin created an enormous chasm, and it separated us from God. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 through 2 tells us that your sins and iniquities have separated you from your God. But because of His great love for us, God sent His Son, who was a carpenter, wasn't He? He sent His Son to build a bridge whereby we might cross the chasm of sin and return to God. You know, we can receive forgiveness for our sins and be reconciled to Him. As I mentioned a while ago in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Building the bridge of forgiveness to close this tremendous gap cost Jesus His life. He paid a terrible price in blood to provide this bridge. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life. Do you hear what Peter's saying there? He's saying you're not about these things that are just futile. We hold so much importance to goods and money, and yet he says those things are just futile. That's part of your futile life. And here we need to talk about what we're redeemed by, and it has nothing to do with silver and gold. He says, but with precious blood. We're redeemed with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You know, we may cross the bridge, and we can cross the bridge through obedient faith. Jesus has built the bridge. The bridge is there. Just as in your life, in your personal life with individuals, you may build a bridge to them. They may never want to come to it. They may never want to step across it. You may go up to them and with the biggest smile and the kindest voice, put your hand out. They may turn away. I've had people turn away and walk off. They may never step foot on the bridge. Christ has built the bridge. And He's standing there and He's asking you to come. Come unto Me. And it's up to you. It's up to every individual that has ever drawn breath on this earth to come to God. To come and receive His invitation. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way. He's the bridge. He has bridged the gap between sinful man and a holy and a righteous God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes, no one crosses over, right? Except by Me. Cannot go to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Cannot get to Him except by the words that He has spoken. He is, as John 1 calls Him, the Word. He is the embodiment of the gospel. And He has left for us a pattern to follow. And that pattern at its heart, and in a simple phrase, is simply total obedience to God. And He asks us to do the same. Jesus Christ is not asking you to do anything that He has not already done Himself. Have you crossed the bridge of forgiveness? Have you crossed the bridge of reconciliation to God? Not too long ago, a guy did tight wire walk across the Niagara Falls. Did y'all see that? Imagine you're there at Niagara Falls. I've never been to Niagara Falls. I have seen pictures, and it's, you know, even the pictures are kind of awe-inspiring. I'm never going to step out on a wire. I promise you that. Probably won't even get all that close to the edge. But imagine you're there, and this little dude strings his little line across Niagara Falls, and he goes to the crowd that's standing there. He goes, y'all think I can go across that? Somebody go, yeah, I'd like to see a good show. Maybe someone fall. You know, we live in a morose society, don't we? So he goes out there and he goes across and comes right back. Now everybody's kind of like, yeah, this guy's good. He just went across, came back. Then he gets a wheelbarrow. He goes, I'm gonna go across this, pushing this wheelbarrow. So he gets the wheelbarrow and he goes across. He comes back. Boy, everybody's excited now. They're like, yeah, you're good. Get on board, right, son? Then he goes, y'all think I can push someone in this wheelbarrow? Think I can push someone in this wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls? Crowd goes, oh, yes, yes, you can do it. We've watched you. You've went across now several times. We believe you can do it. He goes, who's going to volunteer? That's really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? You know, we can say all we want to say about what Christ can do and what Christ will do, but are we willing to really put our lives completely into that? To give the whole of our lives to Him, to trust our whole lives to Him? You know, to not do as Calvin has been teaching in class on Sunday morning very well, not to have a second plan to God, just to trust in God to get us through, to take care of us. It would bring so much more peace to our lives if we could just do that. If we could just honestly believe that He can get us there with all of our hearts. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need my advice. He doesn't need my intellect. I can't even figure out which way to go. I just need Him. He has prepared the way. He has built the bridge. Are we willing to be bridge builders? Are we willing to be a guide to show people where the bridge is that Jesus has already built? A bridge that leads to heaven. A bridge that brings us back into reconciliation with our Father. This evening, if you are not a child of God, your sins and iniquity have separated you from your God. But thanks be to God that that does not have to continue. And He calls you to Him. And the bridge has been built. And all you have to do is step out onto it in faith and obedience to find your way back to a Father that loves you. If you're a child of God and maybe you've forgotten that you don't need anything but Jesus Christ in your life and you haven't been depending wholly upon Him, you know, when He invites you into the wheelbarrow, you go, I think I'll pass. That's a little hard or a little scary for my life. There's a lot of things about living the Christian life that are scary and hard. That's why Jesus Christ says, take up your cross and follow me. There's nothing easy about a cross, friends. Ask Jesus Christ. He's already carried His. Now pick up yours and carry it. If we can assist you in any way this evening spiritually, we hope and pray that you will let us. Why don't you come as we stand, as we sing.